Miami Dolphins, they continue to try to build up a team that last year underperformed at 8-9, ended the season on a thud against the New York Jets. It sounds like after years and years and years of us trying to tell Chris Greer, Stephen Ross, Mike McDaniel for a couple of years, this team needs to get tougher, needs to be more physical, needs to get after it more, not so much finesse, not so much flash. It seems like now that they're on the hot seat, they're starting to at least want or give us the perception that they're trying to be tougher, they're trying to be bigger, they're trying to be stronger, they're trying to be nastier. But are they really doing that? And you just got to kind of look at what's going on this offseason in the free agency and kind of wonder, are we getting tougher? Are we getting stronger? Are we getting more physical? One of the big splashes this offseason has been quarterback Zach Wilson from the Broncos. I don't know how you can be tougher at a quarterback position, but I don't think that's really, you know, one of the things that you get. I talked to Pharaoh Brown, tight end from the Seahawks. His main goal, he said, is to be the number one blocking tight end in the league, meaning that he probably got the message this team needs to get a little more physical. We got Willie Gay in from the Saints, who used to play with the Kansas City Chiefs, who's won a couple of championships. Does he move the needle for you, Vlad? He had an off year with the Saints last year, but he had some good years with Kansas City. Does that, as a linebacker, make you feel a little more confident this team's getting physical and wants to be mean?
I like the fact that he played for the Chiefs. He won two titles with them. Obviously, he went to get a bag. It didn't work out with New Orleans. Nobody knows what's going on with New Orleans. Fortunately, your team, your hometown team, the Black Cards, they're not allowing you to pay the monthly interest, you know, the basic minimum. They're not allowing you to do that anymore. So now the bill is due. Mm-hmm. But he's coming to Miami, fresh start. And probably he's a guy that could help get that narrative about the Dolphins off. You know what I'm saying? He's a physical linebacker.
Yeah, that's what
very physical linebacker. Physical linebacker. So maybe trying to take that. We all know that there is a perception about the Dolphins that they're SAWFT soft, or they play a what's the word I'm looking for?
Finesse.
That's the one. They play in a finesse way. While a team like Randall Gay, Mr. Gay came from Willie Gay came from Kansas City and playing the cold, played tough, playing in a tough defense with Spags. So maybe they are trying to change that narrative, but there's all a lot of narratives with the general manager that needs to be changed before certain players that, you know, they acquire can change the narrative about the team.
What about a guy you probably know a little bit more than I do about, Ashton Davis, a safety from the Jets?
I love how hand-me-downs be.
Does he make this team more physical? Does he make this team less finesse?
No, he's a solid player that's probably going to make some plays for you on special teams. And, you know, if you need him to make some plays, you know, as a substitution or fill-in, he can do that. But as far as, like, changing, like, a tone set or anything like that, like one of that, no.
No, he's not at all. A new receiver from the Titans comes in, Nick Westbrook-Ekhine. He's had some good plays here and there. He talked about how he wants to block and be a receiver. I was listening to his interview, his introduction interview with the team. He kind of made it a point, too, that he needs to get out there and block, and he looks forward to blocking, and he's kind of got that big body. I think that's part of the way that Miami's trying to change the narrative. He's one of those guys, right, that they're trying to get in there to kind of stomp a little bit, do a little more stomping.
I don't know if he's there to do a little bit more stomping. I just think he's just there to fill out some areas of need. Last year, that was Odell, you know, and you signed him, and I told you guys were getting fleeced because you basically purchased a broke jalopy. So you have a guy who's played in the league, well, I think, for like five seasons now, maybe four or five seasons, six, and he's a commendable, respectable player that, you know, whatever you need, he can fill. And that's basically it. But we all know the ball's going to go to three people. But when it goes to passing, it's going to go to Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, and Jonnu Smith. And Devon Achane is the fourth one. It's a fourth option as well. But can Westbrook McKinney be a viable third option? Wide receiver number three?
Yeah.
Possibly.
So you lose Jeff Wilson Jr., but you gain Alexander Mattison, a running back from the Raiders. He is a ground-and-pound guy. He's a Mr.
That's cool.
2 yards, 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
But I want to see
I don't see any improvement, though.
I don't, and he might not even make the squad.
Yeah.
I really, first of all, this is a great draft for running backs. And second of all, you got a guy that I want to see run the ball a little bit more in to help Devon Achane. And that's Jalen Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big bruiser. That's the big back that you got. He's the guy that needs to, when it comes December and January, when the weather gets cold and then you have to go to Buffalo, you have to go to New England, you got to go to New York, you may have to go to Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, if you make the playoffs. He's the guy. That's the guy that you need to run between the tackles, milk the clock, save two on the offense from always having to throw the ball all the time, keep the defense on the sideline. Yeah. But all of that really starts with shoring up your offensive line and your defensive line.
I'm not sold on James Daniels yet. A lot of people saying, oh, no, he's going to be fine. He's coming off that Achilles injury. He's expected to be okay. But now what are we doing? Getting another injury-prone player to try to fill out the offensive line and hope they don't get hurt? Does he bring some physicality? Does he bring some size? Sure. But once again, we're taking a guy that's coming off an Achilles. We talked about this, Vlad. What are you trying to do? Change the narrative. We don't get hurt. We're more physical. We're stronger. You go out there and you get a guy who's already hurt and hasn't played in basically a year. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that one. We'll see. If he plays great, he'll be our guy. And then, of course, punter Ryan Stonehouse. Well, I mean, whatever. They do what they do. Also, can't forget about right tackle from the Bears, Larry Borum. He has joined the team on a $2.5 million contract. All guaranteed. I mean, it's an effort, but Vlad, it's like, I'm going to cook you a really good meal, but I'm going to go do all my shopping at, I'm trying to think of somewhere that's like, you know, not the greatest of, you know, places to buy groceries at. And let's just say, you know, I'm going to cook you a really good meal, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to use this term, the Dollar Tree, and get items to cook with. You're probably going to be like, well, I mean, how are you going to cook a fancy good meal if you're not going to, like, the farmer's market?
First of all, I'm going to look at you like, yo, what I look
You're going to get a bad meal. You're going to get some cereal.
What do you think of me? Like, you really?
You're going to get some cereal.
Dollar Tree?
You're going to get some wafers. You're going to get maybe some cans of beans that I heat up.
You could Uber eat it. You could Uber Eats me a meal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And, you know, we talked about this throughout the week. It's like you're making an effort, but
could have fooled me.
It's like, hey, like, Vlad, I'm gonna make you a meal from Dollar Tree. So what? I go buy a couple of cans of beans, heat them up. I buy some vanilla wafers.
I can't
give them to you as dessert. Like, is that kind of what the Dolphins are doing right now? Like, they're making an effort, but it's just not enough. So the draft is your hope, right? You got 10 draft picks coming up. This is how you're going to change some of the attitude of the team. You bring in these free agents who are bargain guys. Let's be honest. None of them are big splashes. So you go through the draft. You get a bunch of big, physical, bruising, nasty guys. And you have to hope you hit on them or on a couple of them. And that's how you're going to change the attitude of your team. I don't know if that's a possibility. That seems a hard way to do things.
All right. So we know they weren't going to be spending crazy amount of money because they spent a crazy amount of money last season.
They just don't
right?
Have the money.
They should lock down their free agents. So the moves that they made were decent. It's not like they were bad moves.
From now, it looks decent.
Right. But are they the moves that are going to put you over the top? No.
No. Absolutely. If you think that these moves, that those names that I just threw out, are names that are going to help you to a double-digit win season? No. Now the draft remains the draft.
Now the draft is key. So now, if the offensive line, if you get one of those top three offensive linemen.
Like Will Campbell, if you
Will Campbell, you know, what's the guy? I doubt he's going to make it at seven. I probably will mispronounce his name. But is it Ndemu? Mm-hmm. Dembu, something like that. I'm sorry. If I mispronounced your name, I'm sorry. My apologies.
Come to Miami and make us learn your name. we had problems saying Roethlisberger and Antetokounmpo for a long time, but we sure know how to say it now.
I can spell it.
Isn't that the best way?
Like, that's crazy. I can spell Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, easy.
I can spell Mike Krzyzewski. Okay. Easy.
Bill Belichick. Well, that's not
Nah, Belichick's not hard. I can spell
Ben Roethlisberger.
Marquise Tuasosopo.
No, I can't.
I can spell all of that. But say it. Can't say it.
Can you spell bowl bowl?
Easy.
That's a different sport.
Easy.
Easy. I'm messing around. This is one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Vlad. Draft day comes. Get up to number 13th draft pick. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, Will Campbell, big, big offensive guard from LSU, still on the board. But for some reason, running backs are maybe devalued this year. Ashton Jeanty is
Armand Membu. That's the guy's name from Missouri. That's who I was thinking about.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah, those are the guys. So, like you said, you mentioned Will Campbell from LSU.
But what if Ashton Jeanty slips to the Miami
See, now, Hurricanes? That'd be crazy because I don't think it'd be – okay, that's –
This is a tough – once again, probably neither of those guys will get down to 13.
So then now are you – but here's the thing. If you're at 13, are you drafting best player available or are you drafting need?
Best player that you need.
So, then if you need – then you got to grab the lineman because you need line help.
I know. And
you lost –
I'm so torn on this.
Armstead is donezo. He's not coming back.
Oh, there's a possibility.
What did Mike McDaniel say?
I'm going to proceed as if he's not on the team.
They're proceeding as if he's not on the team, and they probably don't want to go through the listen, and like I said, we talked about this last year during the great job that you did with the post-game show, Game Day Uncensored Post. It takes so much for him just to get ready to play on Sunday.
You were in the locker room with him, Vlad, after games and stuff like that. You saw how much he labored, you know, to get ready. And after games, it's just tough, man.
So they probably don't want to go through all of that again. They need to protect number one.
Yeah. It's not going to be a coincidence. If you protect him, how much better he's going to play this year than how much more he's going to play this year than he did last year. And I know some of the injuries were more his fault than anything. But, Vlad, I'm so torn that if you got Will Campbell and Ashton Jeanty available, the thing is, you look what guys, generational players like Derek Henry and like Saquon Barkley, they can do for your team. If Ashton Jeanty's that guy, whoa. But at the same time, if he has no line to run behind, what are you going to do? At the same time, what if he is one of those generational guys? You can't pass up on that.
No.
But at the same time, you really need help on that line. So you got to go with Will Campbell. But then again, you pass up on a generational player. But then again, if you get the generational player, you're not going to have an offensive line that's going to block for him. Well, Dolphins are just kind of would be stuck even in that situation. I've heard and I've seen what Ashton Jeanty can do, though. Same thing.
But, okay. Now, I know we're just talking about it. I don't really think – we don't both particularly think they're going to be drafting a running back.
Well, they already have Jalen Wright, who they got one last year.
You got Devon Achane.
Who's going into his third year.
Yeah, and he's a – listen, he's a 1,500-year all-purpose yard back.
Yeah.
So –
but he's going to want to get paid soon.
Okay.
They all do. Everybody
does.
They
all do.
Only I'm the person that doesn't ask for pay raises around here.
I haven't asked for one. Okay, I should ask for one.
That's why this show is so successful and beloved.
You know what? We should ask for one.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to do that right now.
I saw what happened recently.
Oh, hey.
Man, I just, as I talk through this, and Omar Kelly has a great article in the Miami Herald about, like, if Ashton Jeanty falls for some reason to 13, the Dolphins would be crazy not to take him. But if Will Campbell is still available.
Are you taking BPA or MS? Most need or best play available?
You know, okay, I made up my mind. Have you made up on your mind on if you.
Yeah, I'm taking MN. I'm taking most need. I'm taking the offensive lineman.
You're taking Will Campbell?
Yes.
If he's available.
If he's available, I'm taking the best lineman. There's some good linemen in this draft, bro. And then if you're able to get one of the better offensive tackles, you must.
Okay.
That's a guy that can give you 10, 15 years. That running back, as great as he is, he's going to give me 5 or 6. Guess what? Unfortunately, there's some schemes that works when you have a three down back, and there's some schemes that work when you have multiple running backs. You know it better than anybody else. Sean Payton never wanted a number one running back. He likes to have the guys. He likes to have the multitude of running backs. A guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. A guy that can get me short yards. A guy that can be a home run hitter. But I don't need all of that in one. You don't have Saquon Barkley's. Ashton Jeanty's one of those. I'm not saying he's Saquon, but he's a special running back. And I can make a great, great argument for the reason why you should go after a running back in this high. Look what the Detroit Lions did when they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs.
When you have a premier, premier, premier running back, though, makes a huge difference.
Look at the Atlanta Falcons. And the Atlanta Falcons were able to go from, who was that? It was Desmond Ridder, because they had Bijan Robinson. They were able to sign Kirk Cousins because they had Bijan Robinson. And they were able to sit Kirk Cousins' ass and put Michael Penix in because they got Bijan Robinson. And I say this because I still think the Atlanta Falcons are not using Bijan Robinson right way.
No.
And he's still gaining 1,400 yards, and that was his second year. So, yes, when you have a stud running back, it alleviates so much pressure and stress on a quarterback. And we would love that. I would love for the Dolphins to have a running back or a guy that can hand the ball 22 to 23 times, because that means Tua's not in the pocket at the risk of getting hit or even getting hit, even after he released the pass.
All right.
And it falls on a certain someone with glasses and a lanyard who makes the calls, because that was what he was brought into. That's what he said after his first year as coach, that if there was any regret that he had in his rookie year as head coach, that he didn't run the ball more in his second year. And then what happened? He didn't run the ball at all in his second year. Mm-hmm. And then last year. So now we're in year four, and it's on Mike McDaniel to basically balance the offense out so that we don't see Tua throwing the ball so much.
And I'm not trying to play devil's advocate with you right now. This is really the way I felt about it as I was talking myself through it. I'm going to agree with Omar Kelly on this one and say, if Ashton Jeanty is available at 13, you go ahead and get him. The chance to draft a transitional or a generational player that can transition your organization, like Saquon Barkley.
But I want to give me the lineman.
Like a Derrick Henry. You have 10 draft picks. Find some guys. Use your other nine for what you need. But if you have a chance to get a guy like that, and remember, a couple of these Kansas City Chiefs championship teams had undrafted offensive lines.
No, but they had core offensive line. They had Creed Humphreys. Okay?
I understand.
They had they didn't draft Joe Thuney, but they had Joe Thuney. Their line, at least 3/5 of their line, they shored up, and they were the best at their positions. Okay? The Philadelphia Eagles. You never have to worry about the Eagles and their offensive line. Because how we make sure you get that O-line set. It doesn't matter if it's Miles Sanders. It could be Miles Sanders. It could be who was the running back that was from the Bears that went to the Eagles? And he started off good, and then DeAndre Swift. It could be a Swift. If I got five guys that's going to maul those four linemen and those three linebackers, if I got an offensive line that can hold, run block and pass block, I'm going to be in every game. It's all about the line of scrimmage, baby.
So you trust that with your other nine picks, you can find those guys. You get it.
I don't trust him.
Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm saying Chris Greer has to trust himself. You have a chance to possibly be a generational player. You don't want to pass up on that. You got to believe you have nine other
picks.
Guess
what? Let me ask you this. And I love that you bring that. You know, there was not too long ago, he had that similar.
I understand.
Yeah, and what did he do?
I understand.
What did he do?
I understand.
He had a chance of getting Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle,
or Penei Sewell. And to be honest, he got the worst of the three.
Okay. You got the worst of the three. Chase, yes, but Chase was playing with his boy. And he got paid.
Part of Jamar Chase's success is playing with Joe Burrow.
But you know who the pick that they should have gotten? The pick that Robbie the Degenerate said that they should have gotten. Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
And you would not be in the situation that you are in right now. You're talking about generational? That's a generational lineman.
I agree with that.
Okay. So give me the generational lineman over the generational running back or wide receiver.
Well, we don't know if Will Campbell's going to be generational.
I don't even care if he's not generational. If he's just commendable,
is that
or formidable, he's going to give me 10 to 15 years.
Are we hungry? Not hungry in the Dolphins organization that we just want big, tough, strong guys up front. That's it. I just think this, man. You got a chance to get a generational player. Get him. Figure it out with the other nine.
Give me the guy who's good and is going to protect that quarterback's backside.
But you can fill out the roster with guys that are still pretty high draft picks that it could be offensive linemen. Get them. Figure it out. Maybe reach on a couple of them if you have to.
You have reach. How's Patrick Paul doing?
We'll see this season.
Oh, we'll see this season. I don't want to see we'll see this season.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yo,
plug and play. The truth.
I want plug and play guys.
Maybe you can find a couple of those guys in the second, third, fourth round. What if you do this? You get Ashton Jeanty. He slides to number 13. And then the rest of the draft is all offensive.
You know when you can do those type of things, Cousin?
When you have time and capital.
When you already have the offensive line set.
Capital now.
You know why the Detroit Lions was able to get a Jahmyr Gibbs? Because they had Penei Sewell already. They shore up their offensive line.
Okay, well, we forgot to mention that Liam Eichenberger is coming back next year.
And that's a good thing?
I just said Liam Eichenberger's coming back. I just want to make mention
of
that.
You really want to mention that in your argument right now?
No, I'm not making an
argument.
I am
Macho Man Randy Savage and you from the top
rope.
And you're going to tell me Liam Eichenberger is coming back.
No, I just
That's even more of a reason why you better get the offensive line.
I said we haven't mentioned that yet. We neglected to mention he's coming back. He is a solid, solid eighth-string offensive lineman. Solid. When it comes to like the eighth man on the offensive line, solid.
Oh, man.
He didn't have any other offers probably either. So didn't know where else to go.
So look at that. Look at that.
That's what we bring back.
That's on your fan. This is, so listen, I'm not saying. This is all on CG. This is all on CG. I don't want to hear nothing.
There's no way he catches.
Bosh Ross gave y'all the money. This is nothing. This has nothing to do with okay. Stephen Ross. Bosh Ross, chill. Relax. Enjoy. Enjoy the F1. I know you upset with Michigan losing yesterday to Auburn. Just enjoy the Miami Open. Enjoy tonight's women's final. Enjoy the men's final tomorrow. Enjoy the F1 race in the next couple of months. This has nothing to do with Boss Ross. This has everything to do with Chris Greer.
I want to ask you this real quick, and then we'll go to break. Does Chris Greer catch bail any way, shape,
Ain't no
or form
bail.
This year?
Ain't no bail.
Even if everybody gets hurt.
I'm shooting him no bail.
It doesn't matter. There is
He's
no
got
excuse.
No bail.
Okay, no excuse.
None.
I'm not talking about you, Vlad. I'm talking about
none.
They
none.
Can't.
None. Which part of none did you understand?
Okay,
was it a un?
They can't because even if he can't blame injuries, he can't blame this, he can't blame weather, he can't blame. If it doesn't work, it works or it doesn't work.
No. Because you know why? You paid everybody last year. That's why I said 2024.
My thing is this.
You could have had 2024, could have been the season that it was because the contracts don't kick in until this year. Contracts kick in this year, and you got a 13th pick.
My thing is this. You've run out of excuses. You've used enough excuses. It's just, are we doing? We're going to just keep making excuses?
You laughed at the media last year when they asked you about the offensive line.
Doesn't matter if all 22 starters get hurt. Miraculously get hurt, whatever, it wouldn't be a miracle, but like whatever. And he comes back and he says, oh, you can't fire me because, you know, everybody got hurt. No, because then it's going to be another excuse next year, and it's going to be another excuse the next year, and another excuse the next year. It is no excuse, do or die. You don't make excuses when you win, you don't make excuses when you lose.
He's got
no, more.
No bail.
No
Let
bail.
Me tell you this. Okay.
I got fired up thinking he might get bail.
No, ain't no bail. He's on the foreman.
Good.
God bless the dead. No, he's on the foreman.
I hope pressure makes diamonds.
He's on the foreman. Right now, he's battling Joe Shane in New York to see who's more burnt right now.
How confident are you that the pressure will make diamonds with Chris Greer this year?
Diamonds? Please.
I don't answer it.